We are getting ready for a journey today, the journey of Lent that begins this Wednesday. And so in some ways we think of that as a wilderness experience, a little bit like a desert. And so this morning we have heard the story of Jesus going into the desert and hope to gain some wisdom from Jesus's experience in the desert to navigate our own desert experiences. One of the features of Jesus' experience in the desert was his encounter with the devil. You're probably familiar with the country bluegrass song, "The Devil Went Down to Georgia," which tells a story about the devil going to Georgia looking for a soul to steal. The devil makes a deal with a young fiddle player named Johnny that he, the devil, is a better fiddle player. He challenges Johnny to a fiddle playoff. If Johnny wins, the devil will give him a fiddle of gold. But if the devil wins, he gets Johnny's soul. And Johnny says, "It might be a sin, but I'm the best that's ever been." So he takes the devil up on his offer. The story is based on an interesting premise. Johnny, even though he says it might be a sin, he seems to take the devil at his word. He trusts that the devil will keep his end of the deal, which means that to a certain extent, he trusts the devil. In the song, the devil does in fact keep his end of the deal. You may remember the lyrics toward the end of the song. The devil bowed his head because he knew that he'd been beat, and he laid that golden fiddle on the ground at Johnny's feet. And so the song is based on the premise that the devil will in fact do what he says he will do. This is most likely not a premise that the writer of the Gospel of Luke would have shared. In Jesus' time, the devil was known as a deceiver. In John chapter 8, Jesus calls the devil the father of lies. I imagine that Jesus and his contemporaries would have warned Johnny the fiddler against making a deal with the devil because the devil cannot be trusted to keep his end of the deal. In Luke chapter 4, we see how Jesus responds to his own interaction with the devil. One of the reasons that this story is so important is that it emphasizes the humanity of Jesus. Jesus was tempted. Jesus is not incapable of sinning. If he were, then it wouldn't be a real temptation. But Jesus was able to resist the temptation. It is not that Jesus did not experience the temptation. If that were the case, then Jesus could not have been fully human. The writer of Hebrews says that Jesus is able to sympathize with our weakness because he has been tested as we are, yet without sin. This story of Jesus' testing, of Jesus' temptation, comes right after the story in Luke chapter 3 of Jesus' baptism. In this story, heaven is opened and the Holy Spirit comes down like a dove upon Jesus. And a voice from heaven says, "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." Jesus has made a public commitment to his calling, and this commitment has been confirmed by God. What beautiful words of affirmation. What a beautiful experience of affirmation. The Holy Spirit coming down like a dove, letting everyone know Jesus is God's Son. And so at the beginning of Luke chapter 4, we read that Jesus is full of the Holy Spirit. He's full of the Holy Spirit because he has just had this encounter with the Holy Spirit at his baptism. And being full of the Holy Spirit, Jesus is led by the Spirit into the wilderness where he stays for 40 days, eating nothing but fasting and praying. Now imagine for a moment the way you might feel at the end of a long trip. You have finally arrived home. This might look familiar to some of you. Perhaps you've been sitting on a plane or sitting in a car for hours. You have not slept in your own bed for days. And you come through the door with a suitcase, exhausted, ready to collapse after a long journey. I think this is a little bit like how Jesus felt at the end of his 40 days in the wilderness. Of course, when we come home from a journey, we have usually eaten during that time and don't feel nearly as exhausted as I imagine Jesus must have. But there is that sense of coming to the end of this journey, coming to the end of this experience, and being exhausted, being spent physically and probably spiritually. Although for Jesus, at this point in the story, he is still in the wilderness. So he is not even within sight of home yet. He is not on his bed. He is not quite where he can relax yet. But Scripture tells us he is famished. There's an acronym used by recovering addicts and alcoholics to remind themselves that they are most vulnerable to a relapse when they are hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. This acronym, HALT, applies to all of us. We are all more vulnerable to temptation when we are hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. Whatever temptation may be our weakness, whether it is overindulging with alcohol or medication or food, whether it is engaging in conversations or relationships or activities that we know are not good for us, whatever that temptation is, we are more likely to give in to the temptation when one of these are true, when we are hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. Since Jesus was fully human, I think it is safe to say that this would apply to Jesus as well. At the beginning of Luke chapter 4, at least three of these four were true of Jesus. The text tells us he's hungry, so we know that is true. He is famished. He has been alone in the wilderness for 40 days, so I think it's reasonable to assume that he was feeling lonely at this point. He has been sleeping in the desert for weeks, so tired is also a reasonable assumption. I don't know about Jesus, but a lot of people get angry when they are hungry. There's even a word for it. Perhaps you've heard the word hangry. It describes someone who is irritable because they are hungry. Now, I don't know whether Jesus got hangry, but we know he got hungry and we know he got angry, so it's possible that the two were connected from time to time. After all, Jesus was human. So it seems that there is some very strategic planning going on here on the part of the devil. This is a time when Jesus is especially vulnerable to temptation, and the devil chooses this time to put Jesus to the test. Now, the devil is pretty good at temptation. He's known as a deceiver. He knows how to twist words around. He knows how to quote scripture. He knows how to make things sound like they are not as bad as they seem. But much like Johnny the Fiddler, Jesus beats the devil at his own game. Jesus also knows how to use scripture. Jesus sees through the devil's deception and knows exactly what the devil is asking him to do and what it would mean. And so Jesus, even in his vulnerable state, resists temptation. There is hope in this for us. We, like Jesus, are humans. And so when we face temptation, when we struggle to do the right thing, to make the choices we know are best, remember that Jesus struggled with this too. The struggle itself does not mean we are wrong. The struggle itself does not mean we are in sin. The struggle is what it means to be human. Jesus struggled too. Jesus tells us that if we are his disciples, then we have the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, like Jesus, we can be filled with the Holy Spirit, and that power can enable us to do what Jesus did, to resist the temptation. The power that filled Jesus at the beginning of Luke chapter 4 as he set off into the wilderness is the same power that fills us when we are followers of Jesus. And so this week, as we are preparing to enter a desert of sorts, we are preparing to enter the season of Lent. This Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, and from this Wednesday until Easter Sunday, there are 40 days, not including Sundays, until Easter. The word Lent comes from an old English word that means spring, since it takes place in the spring of the year. And for generations, the church has traditionally observed these 40 days as a season of prayer and fasting, remembering how Jesus spent 40 days praying and fasting at the beginning of his ministry. And so as we prepare ourselves to remember Jesus' sacrifice on the cross and to celebrate his resurrection, we spend these weeks leading up to Easter focusing on our spiritual lives in ways that are meant to imitate, in some small way, what Jesus did in the desert. Fasting and prayer can take many forms. Some may choose to go without food or to go without certain foods. Some people may give up meat or sweets or chocolate, or the extremely faithful might give up coffee. Afraid I will not be counted among those. Fasting can be abstaining from something other than food, such as television or social media. In some traditions, the Sundays of Lent are not considered part of the Lenten fast. And so some Christians choose not to observe their fast on Sunday. So they might fast the other 6 days, and then whatever it is they are fasting from, they might use that or do that on Sundays. Fasting is not really a part of our culture. Our culture tends to encourage us to overindulge more than it encourages us to refrain. Our culture says things like, you deserve it, you've earned it, you should have this. That's one of the ways that the Christian life is countercultural, because the Christian life says we don't always get what we deserve, sometimes for our benefit, and sometimes it's not so beneficial. But the Christian life is about choosing what we're going to do, choosing how to focus our life. Not just collecting things or doing what feels good or what we want, but doing what is best for us and for the world. The purpose of observing the season of Lent is to strengthen our relationship with God. We may choose to give something up in order to help us focus more on God. The act of denying ourselves something temporarily is a way of reminding ourselves that as Christians, our lives are not all about us. We may give up something we enjoy as a tangible reminder of how much Jesus gave up for us. And Jesus calls us to make sacrifices for others. Perhaps these little, seemingly insignificant sacrifices are good practice for whatever sacrifices it is that God might call us to make in the future. When I was in high school, I had a friend who would always give up a certain type of candy for Lent. It would vary from year to year. Whatever was her current favorite, she would give it up for Lent. But instead, she would eat some other candy. And so I remember thinking, I don't know that that's really much of a sacrifice. I'm not sure that trading one sugar for another is really what Lent is about. But on the other hand, I now think that even though the sacrifice may have been minimal and may even seem trivial, it was still a daily reminder to her to do something different than her usual routine, to make a decision not on what she wanted in that moment, not on what felt good in that moment, but on what she had already decided, to make a decision in that moment, based on a decision she had previously made about how she would be living for the next 40 days. Perhaps it is these little decisions and this practice that help us build the discipline to make the bigger decisions, to make the bigger sacrifices. And practicing the skill of self-denial in little things, we build the strength to put it into practice when we really need to resist a dangerous temptation. When we fast, we are eliminating something from our lives, giving it up for a time, setting it aside. Another way to observe the season of Lent is to add something to our lives. We might add a new or enhanced spiritual practice, such as reading a daily devotional, having a devotional time together as a family or with a friend, or giving an additional offering, or doing an additional act of kindness. This is a season of simplicity in which we are encouraged to set aside what might distract us from God and focus more intentionally on our relationship with God. This is what Jesus did for those 40 days in the wilderness. Luke chapter 4 tells us that Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. Note that Luke says Jesus was tempted by the devil during the 40 days as well. The specific stories of temptation in Luke chapter 4 happened at the end of the 40 days, but it does not seem that this was a brief encounter with temptation after a long and wonderful spiritual mountaintop experience. Instead, Luke suggests that it was a long 40 days. This was a long period of time in which Jesus was continually facing temptation. And so as we prepare to enter this season of Lent, as you think about if there's something you may choose to sacrifice during Lent or to add to your spiritual life during Lent, 40 days might seem like a long time to us as well. We may think, I don't know if I can do this for 40 days. I want to encourage you to reflect today and the next few days on what you will take with you on this Lenten journey into the desert. And what will you leave behind? Just as we prepare for an actual physical journey by packing a suitcase, we need to prepare for this spiritual journey. How is it that we hope to grow in our faith during these next 6 weeks? And what might we need to do to prepare for that growth in our spiritual lives? We enter this desert, this season, a time and space that is intentionally set aside to focus on God. And we do this because we are following the example of Jesus. Whatever we choose to give up during this season or to add to our lives during this season, there will be temptations, as there were for Jesus. We may even give in to those temptations, since unlike Jesus, we are only human. Jesus was human, but he was God too. We are only human. And we may worry that the temptation will be too much for us. Remember the promise of 2 Corinthians 12:9. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Though we may face temptation, though we will face temptation, and we may fall to temptation, may we remember that God's grace is abundant. And so as we enter this season of Lent a few days from now, may we do so full of the Holy Spirit, with grace for ourselves and for others, and with anticipation for what God will do in our lives on this journey. Let us pray. God, we thank you for the many gifts you give us and for the gift of the seasons, of the days and weeks and months, of the years, of these reminders that come about every so often, reminding us of who we are and who you are calling us to be. As we approach this season of Lent, God, prepare us for this journey, for this spiritual experience, for these coming 40 days. Help us, God, to imagine, to believe, to understand what you might be calling us to do in our spiritual lives that is different, that is unique, that is challenging. How are you challenging us to challenge ourselves, to take our faith to the next level, to give something more, to give up something, to add something? What is it, God, that you would have us to do, each of us, to follow you more faithfully during these coming weeks? Help us to see, help us to understand, help us to act in faith, help us to obey. And God, we pray that whatever we do, we would honor you. May we bring honor and glory to you. May we lift up your name before the world, showing others that you are a God of grace and love, that you are a God who calls us to good things, that you are a God who calls us to good works, a God who walks with us and strengthens us to do what you have called us to do. We thank you, God, for your grace and your strength. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.